Welcome back, everyone, to the Book of Ecclesiastes. Pastor Chris with you once again. And chapter 10, as Solomon continues his quest to make sense of the world and understand life under the sun. Remember, Solomon still doesn't have the whole picture. His view is limited to this world. He believes in God, but he's not walking by faith. And yet, his observations are accurate, and his wisdom is sound. There is much for us to learn here. But keep in mind that the story here is incomplete. Now, in chapter 10, Solomon turns his focus to what he calls the madness of folly. He introduced it back in chapter 7, along with the stupidity of wickedness. I really love the adjective choice. Wickedness is stupid. Folly is madness. Now, folly is the opposite of wisdom. It is the way of a fool. Have you ever done something so dumb that you immediately call yourself an idiot? You know, carry too many coffee cups, or pick up a jar by the lid without making sure it's screwed on, or stand up quickly right into the freezer door. Folly. Some of us live our lives that way. So Solomon investigates. Verse 1. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Great picture. What if I sold you $100 bottle of fine perfume with just one little cockroach that snuck in the bottle and died? Just one. Suddenly the quality of the perfume doesn't matter much, and just one foolish mistake can destroy your good name, and just one bad idea can wreck years of planning. So don't open the lid. Don't let folly get in, not even a little. Then verse 2. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. In other words, if the wise goes one way, the fool goes the other, every time. It's like they avoid wisdom on purpose. Verse 4 is a little different. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. That's a good word. When your boss gets angry, stay calm. Anger leads to folly. So don't storm off, and don't respond in kind. Then verse 5, there is an evil I have seen under the sun. The word translated evil here in Ecclesiastes doesn't necessarily mean wicked or sinful. It just means wrong. Solomon says that this wrong is the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Verse 6, fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. Fools in charge. And they can do a lot of damage. Solomon's own son did it. Rehoboam, he put his young friends in high positions, and they abused their authority. Now, when Solomon says the rich occupy low positions, the issue isn't money, it's their training and upbringing. Remember cultural context. When people who are qualified for the role are overlooked because of favoritism, everyone suffers. Verse 7. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. That verse threw me off at first. What's wrong with a slave getting opportunity to lead? Solomon already commended the poor but wise man who saved his city. So I think what Solomon means here is that the guy on horseback, the guy they put in charge and called prince, that guy should not be in charge. He should be the slave because he's not fit to lead. And that guy walking on foot like a slave, he should be the prince. Foolish is foolish, whether rich or poor, and a fool should not be put in charge, no matter what class he or she comes from. In verse 8, Solomon moves from rulers to workers, folly and wisdom at work. These are proverbs, so listen and see if you can discern the meaning. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. So what do you think it means? Whoever digs a pit may fall in. Basically, I think it's a call for wisdom at work. Every job comes with risk, and every task has a wrong way and a right way. Workplace safety is serious stuff, but I also think there's a metaphor here for life in general. Dig a pit, you could fall in. Break through a wall, you might get bit. In other words, when you start tearing things down, be careful. There may be a snake in there. Doesn't mean don't do it, just do it right. Safety first. I am amazed at how much safety is increased and productivity is improved when good procedures are set in place and workers comply. Again, that goes for work and life. Cutting corners always costs more in the long run, with injuries, lost work, and waste. Look at verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Have you ever tried to work with a dull knife or a cheap tool? You waste so much time and work. The same is true when you work without the right skills or schooling. Skill brings success. Don't just work harder, work smarter. And if you're going to work smart, do it the first time. Verse 11. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Put that in modern terms, if the mechanic adds oil to the dry engine after it blows a gasket, he's not getting paid. Timing makes all the difference. Get your life right before it falls apart. Now, as we talk about fools, it's very easy to use the third person here. Florida man is funny as long as he's someone else, but watch yourself. I remember the first time I read Proverbs, and all the verses about fools were so true about them. Until it hit me, I wasn't looking at a picture, I was looking at a mirror. The fool was me in so many of those Proverbs, and it was my pride that kept me from seeing it for so long. As you read chapter 10, try putting your own name in for the fool and the wise and see which one is more accurate. And if you need to change, ask God to change you. The mirror does you no good if you don't do something about it. Back in verse 12, words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. Are your words gracious? Are they better than people deserve? Verse 13 describes the words of a fool that go from folly to madness, and fools multiply words. So make sure we practice a little subtraction, or better yet, rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 14 also warns us about fools who think they can tell the future. Next up, Solomon returns to foolish and lazy rulers and leaders. Verse 16, woe to the land whose king was a servant, that could be translated, whose king is a child, and whose princes feast in the morning. The real issue here is leaders who act like children. Remember when you were a kid and you thought that being in charge was about everyone else serving you for your enjoyment? Rulers like that feast in the morning when they should be preparing for a day of serving the people. 17. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Verse 19 confused me at first because it seemed wrong, unbiblical. Then I realized this is Solomon quoting the foolish ruler. Instead of serving the people, the ruler says, a feast is made for laughter, wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. See, this leader thinks feasting and laughter are the main thing. Watch yourself, too. When your life is built around the feast, when wine becomes the highlight of your day rather than the reward after work, after serving God and serving others, then you're in trouble. And these rulers act like money is the answer for everything, like they can solve problems, not with wisdom, but just throwing money at them. Hunger, homelessness, war, racism, just raise taxes and throw money at it. The problem is money attracts greed, and scavengers show up fast when money's thrown around. And churches make the same mistake, especially in my country. Americans show up in a poor country with big money and easy solutions. Don't misunderstand, money is necessary for most problems, but without wisdom, the problems just get worse. A little folly can wreck a lot of good intentions. Read Ecclesiastes 10. Confront the fool in the mirror, and we'll hit chapter 11 next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.